once again in typical Kiseitse style. Subject after subject gets covered. In the end of the fourth reading, the last collection of verses, speaks to us about pledges, vows, verbal commitments that people might make. Your word is supposed to be your bond. Chapter 23, verse 22. The Torah says, Ki sidur neder, when you make a vow, Lahashem, to God, Elokecha, who is your God, Lo yisa'ache l'shalma, do not delay paying up that commitment. So it's not just any vow. Obviously, every vow we make ultimately is to God, because if you make a vow, make a commitment, our commitment in general is to God. But here we're speaking about Sidur Neder LaHashem. It's a vow, it's a commitment, it's a promise to God, meaning you're going to give something to God. So we're talking here about what we would call a vow of an offering, something that has to do with Beis HaMikdash and fulfillment of bringing a gift. So Ki Sidur Neder LaHashem, you make this vow. The Torah says, Lo yisa'acher l'shalmei. You cannot delay paying up your commitment. You made a commitment. You promised to bring a korban, an offering. Go ahead. Get it done. Ki dorei shidreshenu Hashem elokecha. Because the Lord, your God, will make demands of you. Me'imach of you. In other words, He will follow up. You made a promise to Him. You don't honor it. On time, He'll follow up. V'hoya v'chochet. And if He has to follow up, you'll be found wanting. Literally, you're in a situation of sin. So, just because we always study Rashi, I'll take a look at Rashi first, and I'll share with you what some of the other commentaries say. Rashi says, Lo yisa'acher l'shalmei. So you shouldn't be late in fulfilling your payment. How late is late? It's a minute late. It's 2 minutes late. 5 minutes, a day, a year, a decade. How late is late? One afternoon, after Mincha, the Rebbe went immediately from 770 around to the backyard. On the other side, in the back of 770, there was a building, was the kolo, that housed the kolo. And the Rebbe walked into the kolo at exactly 3:30. Mincha was 3:15, it finished 3:30. The Rebbe walked in there to see if the young men are at their posts and learning on time. And he was not impressed with what he saw. And on the way out, this is 1969, on the way out, my father, you know, after Mincha, he's hanging around a little. He was 5 minutes late. He was walking in, and he's walking into the Kirlin, and he sees the Rebbe walking out. So later, Rabbi Chodakov said, the Rebbe expressed himself in a very dissatisfied way about what he saw in general. And then the Rebbe said, on Zog Kaplan, as finif minut shpet, is eich shpet. And tell Kaplan, 5 minutes late is also late. I'm struggling with that ever since. Here's the point. How do you define late? You cannot say 5 minutes. You made a commitment to bring a korban. You live in Afula. 5 minutes. You have to be in Yerushalayim. That's unreasonable. So it doesn't mean you have to, the day you make the commitment, you have to pick yourself up and go that day. People won't be able to function. Live all over Israel. You made a commitment. When is late? How late is late?
But when you make the commitment, don't you sort of say in your head the time of that?
Doesn't matter what you said in your head, because the point here is, you said it. You said it. Ki sidur neder, we're soon going to see, moitzis fasecha tishmer. It's what you said. I don't know what you had in mind. And let's say you did have a mind. Let's say you had a mind next week, and it doesn't work out next week. What happens then? Is that called late? In other words, everything needs halachic definition. You want to talk about things in some proverbial, poetic way, you could be late if you're 10 seconds late. But halachically speaking, what's called late? At what point have you actually violated an infraction? The Torah kind of sets us up for an infraction here. It says, don't do this. If you do it, God will come after you. And you'll have a sin. Okay, what's called late? So Rashi says that the amount of time allotted to fulfilling your commitment to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash is Shloisha Regalim. God cuts you slack. Three festivals. So if you made a vow today, You'd have to pay it up by when? By Shavuot. Why? Because you have the festival of Sukkot, then you have the festival of Pesach, then the festival of Shavuot. If you made a vow the day after Shavuot, how long would you have to pay it up?
Till
the next Shavuot. A whole year. So it could be a smaller amount of time. If you made a vow Erev Rosh Hashanah, you'll get yourself less than 8 months. Or it could be a full year. 3 Yom Tovim. Why? The idea is simple. You're expected to be in the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov. You're expected to be there. The first time a person is busy, it didn't work out. The second time, a third Yom Tov passes and you still didn't fulfill your vow, that's called late. From that point on, Hashem makes demands. So that's the idea of Lo Sa'achar L'Shalmei. And so but that's quite a bit of time. That could be almost 8 months. So Rashi says that you should know V'lamdu Rabbeinu min HaMikra. Our rabbis actually expounded this from the pasuk, from the verse itself. In the parsha 2 weeks ago, it says V'lo yiroh es pnei Hashem reikam. It says don't show up empty-handed. So the understanding is that when you come on those special holidays, on the three festivals, it's not only coming, but you're coming with gifts in hand. So then the assumption is, if you promised gifts, you'll come with them in hand. When? For Yom Tov. 3 times? That's called late. So now we know what's called late. You got plenty of time. Not for everything. Now you can't always come 8 months late and be on time. For a korban, for a vow to Hashem, that's the amount of time you have. So, the Sefarno says something very interesting about Lo Sa'achar L'Shalmei. He says, the point that's being made to us in the Torah is that we not only are supposed to honor our commitments, our pledges. That's important to honor pledges, but it's also how we honor the pledges. You made a pledge, honor it. How do you honor it? In a timely fashion. It doesn't say you have to give the pledge the day you make the commitment. But if you made a pledge, honor it in a timely way. And if you make a pledge, and you pay the pledge, but you don't do it in a timely way, ultimately, that's not called paying up your pledge. That's not really called honoring your word. The Kli Yakar says, why does the Torah have to warn us not to do this? It's not understood, it's the right thing. And why does it say, Dorish Yidushenu, God will make demands? And why does it say, V'hoya b'chal chet? The Kli Yakar says, God built this machine, He knows it better than you. The human nature is you make a commitment, and commitments are expensive, and they're costly, and they're difficult, and people don't like to pay up. And he says, if you keep delaying it, it gets harder and harder, not easier and easier. And eventually, some people, from delaying tactics and not paying, won't pay altogether. And Hashem knows this. He knows our Yetzirah. And therefore He says, don't allow your Yetzirah in the driver's seat. You made a commitment, pay it up in a timely fashion. The Baal HaTurim says that if a person makes a commitment and he doesn't honor it in a timely way, he delays the salvation of the Jewish people. Because the nation and the individual are not mutually exclusive. What we do as individuals, what happens to us as a nation, has an overlap. There's a direct link. And he says the point must be is that we have to honor our pledges and commitments in a timely fashion, and then we can expect that Hashem will honor and do what He's supposed to do in a timely fashion. Kidorash Yidreshenu, Hashem is going to demand. So the Sefarno says this means that if you don't pay up on time, Hashem will get the payment otherwise. Hashem has ways of getting payment from you. He'll make sure you have to pay. He'll give you bills you weren't intending to pay. The point is not whether you'll pay or not. Of course you'll pay in the end. The point is that when you give, you should give in a timely fashion and not delay it. As the verse continues, verse 23, V'chisech da linder. So what if you're a person that doesn't make pledges? You don't make vows. Is that considered bad? Because we just heard in verse 22 that making vows and then not honoring them on time is a problem. It's like a fraught endeavor. So what if I was, you know what, I'm not making vows. If I do something good, I'll do something good. I'm not making a pledge. I don't want to make any kind of commitment. Whatever I'll do, I'll do. Is that a problem? Does that mean you're falling short in your obligation towards Hashem? The Torah says no. V'chisech da linder, when you restrain yourself from making a commitment, lo yiv v'chachet. That's not considered to be a sin. That's okay. As the Psaji Gaon puts it in his interpretation/commentary on Torah, im chadalta If, for whatever reason, you decided to begin with, so I'm not going to make a pledge. I know people like this. They say, I don't make pledges. I don't make pledges. I give it, I'm not making pledges. So you should know, that's not considered to be a deficiency. Rabbeinu Bechaya says something very interesting. The person who makes a vow or a pledge puts himself in a position where he may well be doing a number of sins or infractions against Hashem. That's a fact. Why? He says, first of all, this cheta ichor, this is the sin of delay. That's a problem. You have to pay up right away. And maybe it doesn't come because you wanted to delay. You thought you would have the ability, and then it didn't work out that way. You had good intentions. But there's a not such nice place that we don't want to visit that's paved, the whole road is paved with good intentions. So just because you had good intentions doesn't mean you're going to be able to follow through. So what should you do? The person said, I don't want to make a vow. I don't want to make a pledge. Another thing is that it's possible that somebody should make a vow or a pledge and do it for the wrong reasons. Maybe he's doing it for glory. Maybe for accolades. Maybe it's not even L'shem Shemayim. So if it's not L'shem Shemayim, that's not a good thing either. So why do we have this mitzvah of vows and pledges? But the reality is that people find themselves sometimes in a situation where they're inspired, where they're excited. They can't fulfill a vow, a commitment right now, so they make a vow. And the truth is that vows and pledges make the world go round. Most of the time. That's how things get done. They tell the story of a guy who broke into Bank Leumi in Tel Aviv, and he escaped with $2 million in pledges. It's a joke. Jewish people like to make pledges. But, I mean, there's certain value to pledges. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you can't give tzedakah, but you can make pledges. And Hashem accepts those pledges. It's not always a monetary pledge. Sometimes it's a pledge to be a better person. A pledge to do a certain mitzvah. So there is a good reason to make verbal commitments. There's a good reason to harness the inspiration when you get it. But the Torah says at the same time, if you're a person who's concerned, worried, and has anxiety about making pledges, not be able to keep them, it doesn't mean you're a sinner. Okay, it doesn't work. If you're not prepared to make a pledge, don't make a pledge. And finally, the rejoinder is, Moitzeis vasecha tishmar. If it comes out of your mouth, you got to watch it. They say, watch your words. V'asisa kasher nadarta. You must do as you vowed. You made a commitment. You must do what you said. L'ashem alekecha. Nedava asher dibarta beficha. The word that you have articulated with your mouth. So this pasuk is very explicit in telling us that the vows that are binding are vows that are verbalized. Moitze sfasecha, that which comes out of your lips. Comes out of your lips. It's not just in your mind. You have to watch that. V'asisa, you'll do kasher nodarta, as you have vowed. Now, the beginning of the pasuk speaks of moitze sfasecha, so probably kasher nodarta, as you vowed, is as you have said. And in case you don't know that, kasher nodarta l'shem lekecha, the Torah emphasizes now, nedova asher dibarta l'ficha. The words which you spoke, and not just spoke, it says nadarta beficha, with your mouth. Why does it have to say with your mouth? So the Ibn Ezra says, because once you said the words, you can't take them back. Sometimes we have this idea of a person has charata. Have regret. You commit something, and right away you regret doing it. So if it's toich kedei dibur, it's as you're speaking, okay, whatever, you said this, but you can right away change it. He said, not when it comes to a vow. If you said it intentfully, that's it. There's no backing away. And that's why the Torah emphasizes Asher Dibarta. If you were thinking, you wanted, you said, I'm do this, maybe I shouldn't do that, that's something else. But if you spoke it out, you said it, that's it. Done. Dibarta beficha. Now, of course, people ask the question, do we not know that Dibur is bepeh? How else could you speak with your ears? You speak with your nose? So really, I don't see the question so much, because there is something called body language. But the thing is like this. Body language is often, perhaps most often, unintentional. This is what the communication experts call leakage. They say you leak all over the place. When you're feeling frustrated or angry or anxious, it leaks. You leak in your body language. It's obvious. If you're not comfortable about something, people will know you're not comfortable. If you have something to hide, people will know you have something to hide. Because that's the nature of body language. That's how LL security functions. You know, it's 9/11 today. You have to wonder if Allah wouldn't have picked up on these guys. Because they're trained to watch for body language. And the people may be trying to hide something, but body language is a very powerful thing. So, why do you have to say kasha dibarta lema? Well, I would think because there's other ways of speaking. But then again, the point of the other ways of speaking is you didn't intend to speak that out. So how could you make that binding? The point here is you chose to say these words. You made that commitment. It wasn't an intuitive thing. But the Ksava Kabbalah says something very interesting. He says, asher dibarta lemer means that not only would you speak to God, when you speak to a fellow. This is even though these psukim, these verses are speaking about vows to God, and leisa achel shalmai, do not delay in fulfilling your vow and commitment, is specific to the Beis HaMikdash, Shalosh Hagol, the three festivals. That has to do with Yerushalayim. That has to do with offerings. That's for sure specific to the Beis HaMikdash. But according to the Ksava Kabbalah, the last words here, where it says an re-emphasis, asher dibarta b'ficha, what you spoke with your mouth, it doesn't matter what you were saying. If you made a commitment, you said it, you have to fulfill it. I know people sometimes they leave voice recordings. I will bli neder call you back. I just want to tell you that I find it ridiculous. Because it's a machine talking. It's not a person talking. But when a person talks and a person says, I will do such and such, then you have to fulfill it. Thinking about it, meaning to, wanting to is one thing. But when you actually say it, when you verbalize it, you have to honor those words. That's the rule with speaking. The Eruv Chaim says that sometimes people speak without wanting to. They blurt things out. In fact, the Rebbe Rashab says in the famous Hemshcha V'Ranat that there's something called Machshava Shebedibur, the thought of speech. And he says it's the level of speech, meaning it's verbal communication, but it's not verbal communication, proverbially speaking. It's not something which I thought about, decided what I would say so that it would sound right, etc. But it's something that just kind of, what they call in English today, a Freudian slip. But the Freudian slip has to come from somewhere. And he says, the Eruv Chaim says, sometimes when a person is planning to do something, he'll mumble to himself. He didn't even mean to say it. But it just came out that way. And said, that's what the Torah is talking about. If it just came out that way, you still have to honor those words. Okay, let's take a look at a very interesting idea from the Rebbe. There's an obvious redundancy in the pasuk here. The pasuk that says, it opens up and it says, you must honor your words. How? It says, "Moitzis v'secha tishmer." You have to keep your watch what you say. Keep your word. Your word is your bond. And then the pasuk says, "Ve'asisa kashen adarta," and you will do as you vowed. So the truth is, there is a seeming redundancy. Because if you're going to watch your words, it's obvious that you're going to do what you're planning to do. But there are various ways of explaining the pasuk in a non-literal fashion where it doesn't seem redundant. The thing is this. The Rambam, in the book of Minyan HaMitzvahs, the Rambam in the book of Mishneh Torah, before he actually begins to list the halachas, he first lists all the mitzvahs. So, and then he does the Minyan a second time. Any of the books, and then he does it again when it comes to each set of halachas. He says, this is the set of halachas. These are the mitzvahs we're going to cover in this collection of halachas. So when he has a minyan of mitzvahs in the numeration of what the mitzvahs are, what the commandments are, the Rambam says like this: Sheyishmer moitzes vasav, that he should watch what comes, what issues from his lips. V'yase kimosha noda, and he should do as he vowed. In other words, the Rambam there is not speaking in poetic tense. This is halacha. And it's what? Two mitzvahs. Some maintain that there's a positive mitzvah and there's a negative mitzvah here. In fact, that's how Rashi explains it. Rashi says, well, why do we have a redundancy? Here it says, Moitzis v'secha tishmer, and then it says v'asisa. So Rashi says, Litan asei, alois asei, that this pasuk includes a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. But the Rambam in Minyan HaMitzvahs talks about the positive mitzvah only. And he says, Sheyishmer mitzvah svasov, it's a positive mitzvah, v'yase, he'll do what he says, he'll honor or watch his words, and he'll do what he says. And it's one mitzvah, not two mitzvahs. Rashi divides it here, mitzvah se, mitzvah se, Rambam puts it together. So the question is, if you're Yishmar Mitzvah Sveisov, if you're watching what comes out of what issues on your lips, does it not mean you're doing what you said? How could you honor what you said without doing it? I'm going to do such and such. Now honor it. Now watch it. Watch your words. Okay, I watch my words. My word is my bond. So if my word is my bond, do I have to then tell you and do what you said? It's obvious. If you're going to honor or watch what issues from your lips, it's obvious you're going to do what you said. So the Rebbe says that in truth, there is no redundancy. But rather, Hagdaras HaMitzvah, the definition of this mitzvah indeed is Mischalekes L'shtayim, does indeed divide in two. That there is a part of this mitzvah called Moitzeis Fasecha. There is a part of this mitzvah that you have to watch what issues from your lips. And there's another part of this mitzvah, V'yasisa Kashenodarta, or as Rambam says, V'yasa. You have to do what you said you would do. Isn't it obvious? Doesn't one immediately include the other? Not necessarily. How? How could you be watching what comes from your mouth, but at the same time not doing what you said? Rambam Pesach, the Rambam rules, based on the Mishnah, Hanoider Godol. Somebody comes and he says, I'm going to bring a big offering to the Beis HaMikdash, a big bull. The heavy cotton, and he brings a little calf. Did he fulfill his vow? Promised a big carbon, he brought a little carbon. Did he fulfill his vow? The answer is no. What if you promised something small, but the heavy godly brought something big? Some people like to under-promise and over-deliver. Promise something small. You needed a commitment, I made your commitment. But I made a minimum commitment. My intention was to honor with a maximum. And I went the full extra mile. I did it all the way. So the halacha is yatzah. You fulfill the mitzvah. Omar harei olai oilo ishlomim. A person says, I'm going to bring in a scent offering or a peace offering of a keves. A keves is a small sheep. The heavy island, he brought a ram. Oshanoda egel, he promised a calf. The heavy shor, and he brought an ox. Gedi, a small goat. The heavy shor, and he brought a big billy goat. Yatzah, he fulfilled the mitzvah. So the Rebbe says, when we look carefully at the words of the Rambam, that's found in Hilchas Maaseh HaKorbanos in the 16th chapter, we could see that the Rambam says the word yatzah. What does the word yatzah mean? Yatzah could mean to go out, but it means here it was discharged. Yatzah. You made a commitment. You were yotze chov. Yotze yedei chovah. You did what you had to do. So the word yatzah does not mean that's what you should do lechatchila. That's what we call in Yiddish b'di'evet. There's lechatchila, the way it should be done. And then there's b'di'evet. B'di'evet is a conjunction of two words. B'di'avad. If you did it. If you did it this way, you still fulfilled the mitzvah. And I'll give you a simple example. Suppose that you're in shul on Rosh Hashanah, and you hear the blowing of the shofar. It's all good, right? You fulfilled the mitzvah? 100%. What happens if you heard a tkiah, then you left shul? I don't know, something happened. You came back and afterwards, and you heard, you picked up a shvarim. Then you came later, you picked up a tkiah. And it happened, everything worked in the right way. You kept coming back and you kept hearing everything along the road, so to speak, until you picked up all of the tkiahs. Did you fulfill the mitzvah? Yeah, you did.
Really?
Yeah. Don't get any ideas. Why did you? Because you heard all the blasts in order. So, but that's not lechatchila. That's b'di'evet. Mm-hmm. There's an amazing story told that during the Spanish Inquisition, on one occasion, they wanted to hear a shofar. But not everybody has had a shofar, and people are hiding in their basements, in their hideouts, trying to do mitzvahs. So one of the conversos, one of these, they used to call them Maranos, these fake converts, really maintained integrity to Hashem inside his heart, and wanted to do mitzvahs, made this huge concert. And all kinds of people came. Mm-hmm. Of course, all the Jewish people came. And he had musical instruments going. And in the middle, he would have this guy come in and blow a funny horn. And people thought it was so interesting. There were rave reviews. And this the way it was like a 6-hour concert. And they got a tekiah, and then a shvarim teruah, and then he gave him a tekiah. And this way all the Jews of Seville fulfilled the mitzvah. All the Moranos fulfilled the mitzvah of shofar that year. Why? Because they heard the shofar at the concert. Now, is that lechatchila? Should we do this now? We make a big concert. Imagine how many people get it. We'll bring Mick Jagger. And everybody will come. We'll pack the Air Canada Center. And we'll blow a shofar. And then Mick Jagger will sing. And then we'll blow a shofar. And then I don't know what else happens over there. The smash guitars or something. And then we'll blow a shofar through. Would that work? I mean, maybe. It might. That's certainly not l'chatchila, the way it's supposed to be. So there's a big difference in l'chatchila, the way we're supposed to do it, and bidiyavad, if you did it that way, okay, fine. In other words, this is the point. You promised something small. You gave something big. Is that the ideal situation? Not really. The ideal situation is you do what you say and you say what you do. That's the ideal situation. In other words, another l'heavy keves, if you said keves, all of l'heavy keves, then bring keves. You said, I'll bring aisle. Sheep is sheep, ram is ram. Do exactly what you said. But what if you didn't do exactly as you said? What if I did more than I said? Okay, b'di'evad yatsa. But l'chatchila, I should do exactly what I said. And the Rebbe says this divides on the fault lines of these two different expressions. Moitzis vasecha tishmar is l'chatchila, the way it's supposed to be. A person should watch his words. Not only do what you said, but watch the way you said it. Watch your words with extreme care and scrutiny. You should be so careful to fulfill exactly what you said. By its literal iteration. Your word is your bond, literally. You made the commitment, follow through exactly as you said. You said a certain kind of carbon, bring what you said. But what happens if you decided to do more? You didn't want to just fulfill what you said. At least fulfill your obligations. So the person who said small and brought big, did he fulfill his obligation? Fulfill his obligation. As the Gemara says, B'chal Masayim, money, included in 200, is 100. Mm-hmm. But Moises Vasecha Tishma, the emphasis, L'chatchila, has to be that we watch every single word that leaves our mouth. L'chatchila, you should do exactly as you say. So a lot of people think that under-promising and over-delivering is the best way to do things. Mm. Not necessarily. The best way to do things is do exactly what you say. Your word is your bond. What you say should be honored 100%. And with this, we'll conclude today's lesson. We should all do what we say and say what we do. Mm. I won't hold it against you if you do more than you say. But Hashem says in His Torah, try to watch every single word carefully, and that's the best way that we're able to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs.
Thank you.